You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
No, it doesn't. It happened when he was a child. If it did actually happen, good morning. Welcome back to all of you liberty lovers and ecclesiastites. It is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye studio located somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is on a Thursday morning, Thursday, September number 20. Is today the first day of fall? I didn't look at the calendar. That's the only way I know what day. Because, you know, some seasons start on the 20th, some start on the 21st. I never really pay attention to which one is which. But in any case, either it's today or tomorrow is the first day of fall. So happy fall to everyone out there. Harvest season, as people often call it. The hot rod line is 603-499-7325. Again, that's 603-499-7325. Did you write that down? You should probably write it down. Did you put it in your phone, your smartphone? Put it on speed dial. Someday you're going to want to have it on speed dial. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be hard to get through if you're not on a speed dial. So get it on speed dial now, early, and you could press that speed dial button often if you wish. Any case, glad that you are in the listening audience. Now, folks, I got to tell you, this is the kind of stuff that even the great Rush Limbaugh does. You might hear this on Levin. You might hear exactly what I'm telling you on Levin. And you might hear it you'd most likely hear it on Savage Nation, Michael Savage. Although I have not listened to him in at least a year. Believe it or not, as much as some people think, you know, well, geez, you're always in this stuff. No, I have other interests. I am not always in this realm. You know, I go and do other things. This is not 24/7. Well, you got to have a passion for, I do have a passion. I have a passion for a few things, not just one. But I got to tell you, this is one of those things that it doesn't yet keep me up at night. Well, that's because, you know, I don't really sleep a whole hell of a lot anyway. I mean, I'm not like Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. You know, that man he's on all, you know, 12 cylinders with only 4 hours sleep every night. I can't do that. 6 hours, okay. I can get by with six. But 6 to 7 hours is what I usually get of sleep. And I'm good to go. If I get less than six, I can be grumpy, slow, you know, groggy, cranky, like most people who don't get enough sleep. But if I get less than six, I'm pushing it. Well, it's because I'm getting older. I remember when I was a kid, I used to, you know, a teenager, used to do something called an all-night skate. It was at Sportsorama in Mattydale, New York. The building doesn't even stand anymore. Yeah, they demolished it. That was a sad day. But they used to have something called an all-night skate on Saturdays. They always started their Saturday night skate session, as we called it, went from 7 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Well, their all night skate session, they used to do, you know, like once a month during the summer, you know, like three or four times in the summer. It went from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Yes, people actually let their children go roller skating for 12 hours all night. And they also did it during, you know, a couple of times during the rest of the year. I remember one time it was during basketball season that they had an all-night skate. I actually had a Sunday game. I went to the all-night skate, got home at 7 a.m., didn't really sleep very much, got a couple hours sleep, got up and then went and played in a basketball tournament, you know, for my team. Now, my dad recognized that I wasn't 100%. Everybody else thought I was. My dad was a little mad at me. He said, "You can't do this. Next time, you got to do priorities, Rod. You got to priority. You can't do set." You know, I said, "I was still in my game." He goes, "No, you weren't." Because my dad knew. I thought I was, you know, I still scored double digits. I thought I was doing pretty well, but yeah, he was probably right. But I could not even attempt to do that today. I know most of us can't. You know, we just don't have the stamina. Somebody once said that the problem with is youth is it's wasted on the young. That's a little bit true. Can you imagine if you're 40 or 50 or 60 years old and you had the youthful stamina you had when you were teens, but being 40, 50, or 60, knowing what you know, can you imagine what you could get accomplished? It's amazing stuff. Yeah, so youth is wasted on the young to a certain degree. I mean, nature knows what she's doing with that, but still, I now that I'm getting to those age brackets, I'm thinking, yeah, youth is wasted on the young, because when you're youthful, you use that youthful energy on stupid stuff like that. Like that. Anyway, you know, we've got this this whole thing about Kavanaugh is start now, folks. I hate to say it, but it's starting to look bad, not because he actually did anything. Simply because we don't have enough Republicans with enough guts to stand up against this ridiculous fake onslaught. We don't have a news media that is looking out for you. You know, that is looking out for us little people. We don't have a news media that's doing that at all. We don't have a news media that's interested in getting to the bottom of the truth. They're interested in playing politics. All because they don't like Donald Trump. That's it. And because they don't like Donald Trump, it is proof that they don't like you. Understand this. You know, the left and the centrists in this country and the swamp in D.C., understand this fully. It isn't that they really hate Donald Trump. Oh, they do. Trust me, they really do. But that's not the big problem here. The big problem is not Donald Trump. The big problem is that they're elitist and they really, really don't like you. And if you think I'm wrong, why don't you look at all the rules, the laws, and the regulations that they've been forcing down our throats over the past 50 years, and you tell me that they're doing that out of love. They don't like us. We are beneath them. I mean, look at them all. For crying out loud, look. Hillary Clinton is the biggest, boldest example of a person who thinks she's better than just about everybody else. Obama's another example. The man isn't even president. His legacy is in shambles, and I've never seen somebody look more arrogant than this jack-off than every time he gets up to speak now. I mean, he's got the... There isn't a single psychiatrist or psychologist or human behavioralist that'll look at Obama and say that he's not smug and arrogant, because that's his persona every time you see him. He's got that chin and that nose high in the air, and he's looking down at you every time. You know, one of the reasons why the press used to always take a picture of Obama below the eye line, below eye level, is because in order for him to look in the camera, he had to lower that damn chin. And it made him look less arrogant. You catch the man at eye level or above, and there's that chin is up in the air, man. That's a sign of complete and total arrogance. Ask anybody who studies that kind of stuff. They think that they're better than the rest of us. I don't know how many times I gotta say it. Their actions prove it on a daily basis. They don't care what you think. Oh, unless it's going to help their agenda. 46% of people in a poll that Hot Air has says that they believe the woman. Who cares? The Supreme Court is not built on polls. Supreme Court justices are not elected. They're not supposed to follow the whim of the polls or what the people think. They're supposed to interpret the Constitution. Well, if nobody really likes it, you know, if he doesn't have any support when he gets on the Constitution, when he gets on the Supreme Court, then everybody's going to question their decisions. Oh, who cares? We do that anyway. We're still, everybody loved, you know, Roberts. That's how he got in the court, you know, Chief Justice. And we're still all trying to figure out how the hell he came up with the idea of forcing Obama on everybody, Obamacare on everybody, when the polls, I don't even care, even the most liberal polls said that most of the American people didn't want it. And yet he found a way to force it on us. So the polls didn't matter then. Why do they matter now? Because it's the polls have no place in the Supreme Court. That's why. And now we're starting to hear, well, you know, the polls are saying we got to have the polls up in order to support this. It's a bunch of bullshit. Because it didn't matter back then, but now it matters. Come on, people. We're not that dumb. You got to wake up to see how badly you're being manipulated. I'm telling you right now, I'm just going to say it. What Blaisley, whatever her freaking name is, Ford, said did not happen 35 plus years ago. It didn't happen. I don't believe her. Because if she's telling the truth, there's no way that you are trying to manipulate everybody into doing what you want them to do. You don't tell Congress, the U.S. Senate, the only way we're going to testify before you is if you get the FBI to investigate. No victim ever gets to tell law enforcement how they're going to investigate a potential crime. They're just going to do it. And they're going to do it their way on their time schedule, not yours. Now, there are many a victim across this country that would have loved to be able to dictate and tell police departments and investigators how to investigate a crime. They don't get that choice or that right. And those people who do such a thing, way more than not, we find that they're manipulative and they're lying about something. The story isn't true the way they said it. Again, did something terrible or multiple terrible things happen to her when she was a young woman? I believe that's true. And I believe she's conflated and conflicted and combined a lot of different things over her life into this one event with Kavanaugh, and she's made it up. Because parts most important parts of her story she can't seem to get right. Where did it happen? Oh, I don't know. Wait, what? You say there were other people there. Who were there? Every single person that she's pointed out says, no, I wasn't there. And we've got one woman that says that he was mean to her, basically. And we've got over 200 women that have interacted with this guy over his lifetime, even going back to high school, that say, no, he was a perfect gentleman. And yet, we've got somebody up in Minnesota who and nobody wants to believe her. Ellison, anybody? Democrats aren't focusing on Ellison at all. Not even the Republicans. Where are the Republicans on Ellison? Why aren't they demanding an investigation? They're not demanding an investigation on Ellison, are they? No. And as a matter of fact, got the story today. His ex-girlfriend is now saying, hey, guess what? I've got the hospital doctor reports right here. You've got the 911 call tape. I've got the doctor report. And nobody seems to believe her enough. As a matter of fact, Ellis could still win. Now, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, folks. Help me out here. We have a Supreme Court judge nominee who's got an exemplary professional and adult life. Nothing there. Nothing. Zero, zero, zero. And one woman sticks her head up out of nowhere and claims that something happened to her by him when they were children. And yet we've got an adult woman saying that just a few years ago, this man beat the crap out of me, and nobody cares. How is that possible? It's only possible when you have a system that we have now that is geared toward the proper elite. And we have a system when it comes to our lamestream media that is completely and totally geared to the proper elite. Ellison is a member of the proper elite. The proper elite is allowed to do and get away with almost anything. You know, Donald Trump once said during the campaign that his supporters are so adamant and so fervent in supporting him that he could probably step out onto Fifth Avenue and murder somebody and not lose any support. The sad fact is that he was picking up on this because he's already seen it on the left. We have a man who was in the White House that was accused of rape by not one but multiple women, and they were all brushed aside. We have a man who's running for office in Minnesota who's a Democrat, who's also a Muslim, who is accused with proof that he batters women, and it gets brushed aside. You get a guy who's had an exemplary career, not a single charge leveled against him in the past 30-plus years. And you get one woman who claims to remember being attacked by him, or almost attacked by him, when they were teenagers. And the entire elitist world goes apeshit batty. And says because of what this guy did when he was 16 or 17 years old, completely and totally disqualifies him from being in such a high office. Yet you can have a woman batterer and basher be elected to high office in Minnesota. That's fine. But don't you dare nominate anybody, Mr. President, who did anything wrong when they were teenagers. Can somebody explain to me how any of that makes any sense? Keith Ellison's accuser releases her 2017 medical documents, saying she feared retribution. She actually has to post her doctor's notes and records in order to corroborate her 911 call. And yet, we have this kind of corroboration and record. And yet we have a woman out there in California who can't remember all the details of her attempted, supposed attempted rape, but that's supposed to keep Kavanaugh off the bench. While Ellison is on the verge of being elected in Minnesota. I'm sorry. God, please stop the world. I want to get off. There is absolutely no excuse for what we've got. None. We're all to blame for this bullshit. We're the ones that are allowing it to be perpetrated. And I know that there are a lot of you out there under the sound of my voice who are actively now fighting against this. I get it. I really do. But all too often, we preach to the choir. We don't try to reach out beyond our own little enclave. And that's not our enclave is not the problem. The problem is that liberal lefty next door neighbor that you never talk to. Well, I don't want to talk to them because they're a lefty. Well, they're the person that you need to be talking to. Because they're not getting the information that you're getting right here. You need to forward this to them. You need to tell them. You need to share it with them. You need to show them. Because that's the only way their minds are going to ever change. They're not going to get to the hashtag walkaway movement if they never see or hear about it. And I'm beside myself. This is a dog and pony show. And the problem is, the big problem is that the Democrats don't even care that you know that they're playing politics strictly for politics' sake, simply because they don't like Donald Trump. They don't give a damn. They know you don't like it, but they don't care. And they're not even trying to hide it. They know there's a double standard, and they're not even trying to hide that. Why won't the lamestream media do to Ellison what they're trying to do to Kavanaugh? Because they don't care, because Ellison is one of them. Hell, for crying out loud, this whole hashtag Me Too. Who are 95% of the people that are being brought down, but they're a bunch of Democrats? Think about it. They're all Democrats. Just about almost every single one of them. And even the people who started the damn movement, the co-founders, one of them is a pedophile, is being accused of pedophilia or something. Well, she is one, because she's admitted she's had sex with the guy when he was a kid. What about that? He was 17. You know, Asia Argento bedded a 17-year-old boy. Basically, it was rape. Is anybody chasing her down? Is law enforcement investigating her or anything? No, nothing. You get a couple of her elitist friends who are saying, oh, well, we don't like her anymore. That's it. That poor kid was traumatized. Yeah, he had to have psychological help too. And he's not 40 or 50 something years old. You know, obviously he's not making it up, because there's evidence to prove that such a thing did happen. They're in bed together. They selfied pictures of themselves on Facebook of them in bed together with both of their shirts off. I don't know about you, but you got messy sheets, messy hair, no clothes on. Think something might have happened. He was 17. She was 37. And all she can say is, oh, I thought he was 18. Oh, come on. And now you want to tell me that a 17-year-old boy who tried, who may or may not have tried to bed down a 15-year-old girl, who now later, when she's like almost 50 years old, says, oh, I think it was rape. I can't remember if it actually happened this way or where it happened or who was there when it did happen, but it happened. And that's supposed to blow up his career. Come, let's think about this logically. Come on. There is just absolutely no way this woman is believable when it comes to the, Ford and Kavanaugh. She's not believable. She's not credible. She's a freaking nut job. She is an anti-Trumper. She's a pink pussy hat wearing liberal. There is nothing about her that is believable. And by the way, yesterday I talked about this. From what I understand, maybe if something happened, it was Kavanaugh tried to get to second base with her. Now, I don't even know if they actually spent any time alone together, but second base is not attempted rape. You know, and there are people, I know there are people that don't know what they, look, if you want to know the different bases when it comes to this sort of thing, when it, first base is kissing. Did you get first base with her? Yeah, I kissed her. Oh, yeah, you made out with her? Yeah, you got first base, man. All right. You know, that's what a 12-year-old does. Then second base, obviously, is, well, I'm just going to say it. The second base is being able to quote unquote, feel up the girl. You know, put your hands on her chest. And rub and massage. That's second base. Do you want me to continue to tell you what third base and a home run is? You get the idea. So the whole point is that he tried to get to second base with her. You know how many teenage boys would now be accused of, we've changed it so much, that it would be attempted rape if you touched a girl's breast and she didn't want you to touch them. You attempted second base and you got tagged out. Now that's supposed to be attempted rape? That's the way humanity has run since down through the ages. Because sometimes the boy's hands will get smacked away and sometimes the girl will allow him to do it. But I guess now we're supposed to first ask and get written permission before we can do that. Well, if that's the way it's done now, remember, this happened some 35-plus years ago. Nobody thought that way back then. So even if it's now, that's the way it has to be and is going to be from now on, it wasn't that way back then. But it was that way back, even back then, that a man could not beat up a woman. Of which Ellison is alleged to have done. And nobody on the left seems to care. I'm in Disneyland.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
If the FBI would even entertain going back some 35, 36, 37 years to investigate this claim, this obviously politically motivated claim, if they're going to believe Christine Blasey Blastered Ford, what about all the women who accuse Bill Clinton of sexual impropriety, including but not limited to Juanita Broderick? You know, that woman hasn't changed her story one iota about the details of what she experienced. Now think about that. This goes back more than 36 years for her. Here's a woman that claims that Bill Clinton actually did rape her. And she gave explicit details. And every time people ask her about the details, she says the same damn thing over and over. She remembers every detail. Now, and nobody wanted to. In fact, we were told that, oh, you can't believe Juanita Broderick. Remember, you could always believe the woman unless the woman is accusing a Democrat of doing it. Then you, not only did you not believe her or should not believe her, but you sick your wife on them to utterly and completely humiliate and destroy them. Remember the bimbo eruption team. Yeah, there are a bunch of bimbos, and this is a bimbo eruption, and we've got to calm this eruption for my husband. And now you even have Clinton out there, Hillary Clinton running around out there saying, yeah, we should, you know, take her seriously, and, you know, Blasey Ford, we should take her seriously and listen to her and investigate. What about all of those women who accused your husband that you personally tried to personally destroy? Do I have to bring all of this stuff into the now so all of you people understand completely and fully that this is all a bunch of political games? They don't give a shit about you or me, and they're just trying to manipulate you. And this whole thing about Kavanaugh is totally and completely made up, because if they truly, really did care about women and women's safety and women's issues, they'd be investigating Ellison, they'd be investigating Bill Clinton and half a dozen other people in Congress already. And they're all Democrats. I mean, why won't they release all the names of the people that have been paid off with taxpayer money by congressional members? Because if they did that, we find out that 95% of them that did that are also Democrat. For crying out loud, you got Juanita Broderick now is back in tears again. Because everybody's believing this woman out there in California, Blasey Ford, who can't even remember half the details of what happened to her. And Juanita Broderick for years has been claiming and kept to the same story without deviating one iota. And people are saying, oh, get over it already. Just get over it. It was so long ago. Get over it. Well, this was 36 years ago with Kavanaugh and Ford when they were teenagers. What happened between Clinton and Broderick is when they were adults. And the difference is that nobody else has ever accused Kavanaugh of anything even close to this since then. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, has a long history of people accusing him. Hell, man, we've seen him lick his chops when he's looking at beautiful women. Anybody remember the inauguration day? I mean, good old Hillary caught him staring and just ogling Melania Trump. Now, granted, she's a beautiful woman. Yeah, I mean, great eye candy. Abso-freaking-lutely. But the man, I'm surprised that they kept the camera on him. For minutes, the guy just wouldn't take his eyes off of her, licking his lips, and then even Hillary, who is standing in front of him, happens to turn around, look at him, give him the evil eye, and instead, and without saying a word, all she did was just turn back around as if, you know, it's typical. My husband, he's an animal. I'm used to it. But at first, she's probably like, looking, giving him that, you know, you're being filmed. This is why she didn't say anything, because she knows that they were being filmed. She just turned back around as if nothing happened. Not typical. So Bill Clinton can be a womanizing monster and have a long history as an adult doing this, with a list of women accusing him of all kinds of sexual impropriety. And we're, oh no, Bill doesn't do that. And then we get the blue stained dress. And then it's, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman. No, because, you know, hey, getting to Lewinsky is not sex. Well, then feeling up a girl when she's 15 years old and you're 16 or 17 is not sex either. And therefore, it cannot be rape. If getting a blowjob is not sex, then making out with a girl and feeling her chest is not sex either. And if it's not sex, then it can't be rape. I know some people are saying, well, that's asinine, right? Yes, it's asinine. But that's what they're telling us. And there are a lot of people, especially on the left, who are listening to this program, who are going to accuse me of saying, well, that's not right. Rob said, that's not right. That's not right. Well, I'm telling you, it's what you are telling us. Because, hey, forcing a girl, whether you know, even if she was really wanting to do it or not, is not sexual impropriety to give you a blowjob. If that's not sex, well, then feeling up a girl on her chest is not rape or attempted rape. Because it's far more benign than getting a blowjob. Well, that's just crude and crass. Well, you know, sometimes you got to be crude and crass in order to get your point across so people fully understand and feel the full force of the impact of what they're saying. Because it's all cute when we all say Lewinsky, but you say blowjob and everybody knows exactly what you mean because words have meaning. And you have to be able to master your vocabulary in order to get some people, especially the uninitiated and uneducated and ignorant, to fully understand you. No, what Clinton and Lewinsky did was not rape. What it was sexual impropriety. What it was sexual manipulation. And that's almost as bad as rape. And yet nothing happened to Bill over that, even when he lied under oath. Oh, yeah. He was impeached over it, and the Democrats cannot get over it. He was impeached over a legitimate crime, perjury, and they can't get over it. Because it's not supposed to happen to them because they're the elite. They're better than you and me. They don't live by our rules. Only we little people get crushed under the rules. They break the rules on a daily basis and go on about their lives as nothing ever happened. But if you're not a member of the elite, which Kavanaugh is not, oh, then, well, you can't get away with even being accused of doing it. Ask anybody on the left, do you think Kavanaugh's guilty? Their answer, it doesn't matter. Ford has to be believed. Well, if you believe her, then that means you believe Kavanaugh's guilty. Well, it doesn't matter if he's guilty. She has to be believed. Do you folks understand the doublespeak here? I'm not making this up. Do you understand the doublespeak? She has to be believed even if she's lying. Do you understand the difference? They will not say that they believe Kavanaugh is guilty. Even when you ask them, I've seen a lot of these people being asked, do you believe Kavanaugh is guilty? She has to be believed. They will not say they believe Kavanaugh is guilty. All they will tell you is that the woman has to be believed. And what they're telling you is that the woman has to be believed even if she's lying. It doesn't matter if the accused is guilty or not. That's irrelevant in their eyes. The accuser has to be believed even if they're lying. And only, and there's a caveat, but only if the accused is not an approved elitist. Keith Ellison is an approved elitist. So even though that there is evidence to back up the accuser's claim, it doesn't matter. She doesn't have to be believed. Is Ellison guilty? Do I believe he's guilty? With all the evidence that's coming forward? Yes. But that doesn't matter. His guilt does not matter. The point is that he's an approved elitist, so it does, like Bill Clinton, so it doesn't matter at all. The women that accuse these approved elitist men of doing the dirty on them, they can be brushed aside. They don't have to be believed. Even though they're telling the truth. Oh, no, you don't got to believe them. But they're telling the truth. So what? Big deal. Not telling. We don't have to believe it. So you have to believe potential lies, but you do not have to believe potential truth. As long as you're dealing with approved elitists versus those who are not. And the media is complicit in perpetrating this fraud on the American people. And we, the American people, buy it daily. Tell me I'm wrong. So Broderick isn't going to get her day in court. She isn't even going to get an investigation. But we have a person who can't even remember all the details of an event that happened when they were children is demanding an investigation. Now, at this point in time, whatever happened to Broderick is also past the statute of limitations, so it would be kind of useless. I agree, it would be kind of useless to investigate because nobody could ever be held accountable now because it's past the statute of limitations. But be that as, and this is what Democrats say about when, that's so long ago, it doesn't matter anymore. Until you change the name from Clinton to Kavanaugh, everything matters. So right now, if you have a kid, a son or daughter in high school, or even middle school, the game has just been changed. Whatever your kid does from now on is going to determine his station in life when he's 50 or 60 years old. Because somebody, if he's going to try to get to a highfalutin position, somebody is going to come back and say, I remember when we were in the sixth grade. Now, we used to think that that would be funny. It's not funny anymore. Because it's freaking reality. You're now being held accountable as an adult, even if you didn't do any of those antics as an adult, of what you did as a kid. In other words, kids can no longer be kids. You know, and frankly, this started in the 80s. Anybody remember the 80s and, bringing up, the millennials? What do all these baby boomer parents want to do? Oh, they got to get their kid in the perfect kindergarten. You know, all this overscheduling of their child began in the 80s with the millennials. You got to get them in the perfect kindergarten. You got to have the perfect play date and play date mates. This stuff was in movies and television shows about parents doing this. Remember the TV series 30-something? I think it's on Hulu. You can definitely get the videos, I think, off of Amazon, and it's probably on YouTube. That's when all this crap started. Your child has got to be perfect from day one. In order for people were actually fighting, even getting into physical confrontation with other parents about their child getting into the right kindergarten, for crying out loud. I mean, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, it's starting then. So is it any wonder that now we have somebody who's accusing somebody else of doing something back when they were high school, and it's supposed to be pertinent today when they're 40 or 50 years old? No, I hate to, you baby boomers, you really, you effed us over big time. And you still don't know how bad you effed us over. A lot of baby boomers are starting to realize it because they're starting to say, oh my God, what the hell did we, there, what, I had that story too. Where is that? Baby boomers regret. Yeah, they're starting to realize the damage that they did. Well, it's a little too late. But okay. You can't apologize for it because now your kids that you raised back in the 80s are not. Now they're adults perpetrating all this stuff that you taught them. And the reason why you're regretting it is because now you're hitting retirement and you realize that you're going to have to depend on them to take care of you. And you're probably thinking, oh my God, what did we do? I have the same. I have the feeling that these millennials, once they start hitting retirement age, they're probably going to think the same. What did our parents do to us, and what did we do to our kids? Now they're going to be the sandwich generation of screwed up people. The millennials are. They're going to be the sandwich generation of screwed up people. You know, the people under the age of 40 who are under some sort of mental care, the percentage is much higher than any other generation before them. Now, mental care could be just somebody going to a therapist, a psychologist, a psychoanalyst, a psychotherapist, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist. Any of those psycho people. Personally, I don't like any of them. I mean, I'm very uncomfortable around all of them. I mean, I actually had a friend who was a psychologist. And I used to hate hanging out with him because every time he started asking questions, I thought he was trying to psychoanalyze me and get in my head. That's how uncomfortable I am around these people because they always want to find something wrong with you. And he used to tease me sometimes too. And I'd say something, he goes, huh, tell me, how did that make you feel? And I used to say, knock it off. Well, he knew. He knew I was uncomfortable when it got to that kind of a position in our conversations. He knew, and he played on it. That's just mean, by the way. That's mean. Yeah, I can look back and laugh on it because we're friends, but this is how it happens every single freaking day. He's since moved on. He now lives in Oregon, I do. But yeah, Oregon. He was a centrist, but he was a moderate. Believe it or not, he was a registered. Yeah, I have friends who are registered Democrats. He was a registered Democrat, but he was a moderate. He used to say, "I don't believe half the stuff that the Democrats say, and the other half that the Republicans say is a lie." So he was really down the middle. I don't know, maybe a lot of these mental health professionals are, when it comes politically speaking, maybe they're down the middle, but he definitely was. And he was actually funny. But I used to hate it when he used to do that. And he knew it, and he thought it was funny. But understand that when we get away from friendship and you start talking reality between non-friendship people, there's a lot of manipulation going on. And that's why, and people actually believe that they're that screwed up where they, well, you need to, every time I hear somebody say, you know, talk about a problem, well, you need to talk to a professional about, why do I need to talk to a professional? Isn't that what friends are for? You know, you can vent to each other. Oh, no, you're not even supposed to vent anymore because your friend says, well, no, don't vent to me because I'm already dealing with something else and you're going to screw me up even worse than I am. We both should go make an appointment to see a psychologist or something. That's what happens today. And this is how you get a huge percentage of millennials and younger in therapy, permanent therapy. You know, it used to be you go to a mental health professional so you can clear up whatever psychological mess that you had and you moved on with your life. Not today. You stay in therapy forever. And this is the generation, the millennials, that is trapped between having nut job parents who are baby boomers and nut job kids that they're raising. And if you think Kavanaugh is the end of this, oh, this is just the beginning. We've just entered a new realm of politics. Kavanaugh is not a one-off. Some people are saying, are trying to tell Trump, you know, just cut him loose. It's a one-off. Let's cut him loose and get somebody else so they can vote on him before, you know, the next Congress comes in, what have you. The problem is Kavanaugh is not a one-off. The Democrats have just introduced a new political weapon that they can successfully use. And if they can use it on Kavanaugh, they'll use it on anybody they don't like. All they got to do is go out and find a patsy or somebody who's willing to say, I remember when, and go all the way back to their childhood. And that is going to permanently disqualify anybody in the future that they don't like. This is a new realm. You may think that this is one of the new tactics of the left. They may not have a lot of new plays in their playbook, but this is a new one. It's highly effective, and they're going to use it again, because if they can get away with on Kavanaugh and preventing him from getting on the Supreme Court, they will pull out this tactic every single time anybody else gets nominated to the high court or any other important position by a Republican that they don't like. And they will prevent that nomination from going through. And the only people that it's going to hurt besides the nominee is we the people. Because that's how much the left hates you and me. Don't doubt me.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of